John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found Nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome back in. Hour number two, Robbie and Rexrode, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rexrode, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bron. Bron, good morning, man. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, man. How are y'all doing?
We're good.
Hey, I just have a question. Did y'all see where Trevor Lawrence's ball got punched out?
I did.
They called it a fumble against the Colts, but it's probably more of a forward pass than Derek Carr. I just want to know what y'all thought about that and how the refs let it play out how they were supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, Joe. I mean, these calls, there's no consistency to them, which goes back to a little bit of what Vrabel was talking about, that answer yesterday of, you know, one week it's a fumble, one week it's incomplete pass. Like, there's just – nobody seems to be able to figure out what's a fumble and what's an incomplete pass on some of these plays. Hey, look, I fully recognize that in live speed, sometimes it's really difficult to determine if the arm's going forward or not. But again, that's why you let it play out when you have doubt.
Yeah, no, we can do this. I mean, I think Vrabel's quote was perfect. Next week it'll be a fumble, and the next week it'll be an incompletion. You can put two plays side by side. I mean, it's a problem for the league. I mean, and we knew it last year, and they had this entire offseason. In week one, we immediately have very similar looking plays that are ruled differently. I mean, that's just somebody has to dig down on this and do a better job of figuring out the clear, you know, the clear guidelines for fumble or you know, incompletion. So it's frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, it's just bad for the product.
Let's go back to our 1025 The Game phone line and welcome in Dwight. Dwight, good morning, man. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Great show. Got a couple things. Looks like we use the zone blocking where you see all the linemen take off one direction. They either go all left, they go all right. Henry runs down the line, he picks a spot, and he cuts up. Defenses are wise to that as far as Henry goes. When you see all those guys in the box, it's an assignment defense. Everybody fills a hole. You're not going anywhere, and that's what they do to him. The first half looked like they were doing straight-up blocking. He was picking his hole and getting through. Second off, either our receivers are really slow, New Orleans D-backs were really good, and on the other end of it, I don't know if it's the way the defense was called or whatever, but it seemed like their receivers were open, and even when ours were, you know, we missed them. But I don't know. They just looked either slow or maybe there's something to do with the play calling. Maybe the guy hadn't reading the defense right. I don't know, but it looked bad to me from top to bottom yesterday.
Yep, thanks for the call, Dwight. Appreciate it, man. The receiving part of this yesterday, Joe, other than a few plays, I thought Hopkins ran a couple of nice routes, made a couple of good catches yesterday. Now, he also made some catches with, you know, people draped over the top of him, which is what DeAndre Hopkins has done throughout his career. He finishes
Lattimore primarily.
Yeah, for sure. Lattimore was all over him. Hopkins, 7 catches, 65 yards on 13 targets yesterday. But all in all, like I do agree with what Dwight had to say. It did not feel like, you know, the Titans receivers were running free. Really, Treylon Burks is the one that stands out. Like he was not much of a factor yesterday. 3 targets, 2 catches for 18 yards. Now we talk about guys not running open, Joe. Having said that, I mean, Okonkwo was wide open. Tajay Spears was wide open, and the quarterback missed him. So it's not like they just didn't have people open at all yesterday.
No, but it was like the special schemed up plays worked beautifully, and you got to hit them, and you win. Hit one, and you win. Hit two, I guarantee you win. But I agree. There was not a lot of space out there for the receivers in general. So you put that together with the protection, and it was a difficult day for Ryan Tannehill. Now, again, you got to hit the layups. Now on the zone blocking versus gaps, I think that's a good observation. I think there was at least one outside zone play that turned out to be a good Henry run, but definitely some of those first half runs were more gap scheme, picking a hole and, like you said, straight up blocking, old school blocking, gap scheme. They did plenty of gap scheme last year too.
Yeah,
they do both. I do think we're going to see, we're going to see less carries based on 1 week. Now I say that, and this week Derrick Henry will have 32 carries against the Chargers. I don't know, but the first look at this offense, there's quite a bit of empty. There's a lot of moving things around, and I do think that just the outside zone, inside zone as bread and butter is definitely not there anymore, again, through 1 week.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Kenston, who wants to weigh in. Kenston, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Good to talk to y'all again.
Good to have you.
A question. Yes, sir. I don't know if y'all talked about it already, and I'm not trying to overreact to week one, but – yesterday and how I saw Tannehill play is much like a lot of people are saying. That's the worst we've seen him play. And we kind of trumped it up before, bad offensive line, not having any weapons. But, again, I'm going to give him more than 1 week. But in the back of my mind, I'm faintly starting to wonder, is this the decline that we're seeing from a 35-year-old quarterback coupled with last year, coupled with what we saw in 21? Because, like I say, he's had bad games before. He's had limited weapons, but – we hadn't seen him miss these throws, and he should have thrown 5 interceptions. So not jumping off the bandwagon yet, but I just, like I said, it's in the back of my mind is, okay, could this be the decline that we're finally starting to see from a 35-year-old quarterback? Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Joe, what do you think of that with Tannehill coming off the injuries last year and the idea that maybe at his age the play's starting to go the downturn a little bit?
No, look, I think it happens. I mean, we're conditioned now in this league to expect quarterbacks to be totally fine until 40. But that doesn't mean it's always the case, everybody. And Tannehill has a pretty long list of, injuries in his career, and he got battered last year. I mean, Zach brought up earlier, he missed a wheel also that could have been a TD early in the game. I forgot about that one. And that was another nice play that could have been a big play. I did think, and we were saying this, I mean, I had Gentry on my left and good old PK on my right, and definitely a few times, it was like, man, the velocity doesn't look like his normal velocity, it's hard, you're kind of far away, and is it that the velocity isn't there, or is it that he's just throwing to a covered guy and maybe threw it a little bit late? I don't know. It did seem like on a few of those passes, he didn't have the same oomph on the ball that he normally does. I mean, Tannehill can rip it, in there when he needs to. And it just didn't look like he had quite the same fastball yesterday.
Well, look, Tannehill was hit a lot yesterday. I think Tannehill got sacked 3 times, and he was hit 10 times yesterday. So the Saints had 10 quarterback hits. And, obviously, when you're getting hit that much, that's going to affect it. Now, having said that, look, the Titans got after Derek Carr yesterday too, right? He had 8 quarterback hits. They sacked him 4 times. And Derek Carr, he did make one atrocious decision, throwing basically a gift-wrapped interception to Amani Hooker yesterday. But other than that, I thought Carr's decision-making, for the most part, was really good. That's the thing that concerns me the most about Tannehill yesterday was I get it that he's under pressure, and I get it that he got hit a lot yesterday. But some of the decisions were just really bad. Like the idea to throw that ball to Chris Moore in double coverage was bad. And that's beyond just the misses. I mean, like we've talked about, that last drive, they go down the field, they get a field goal. But Tannehill goes one read to his left, looks over, tries to hit Nick Westbrook-Ikhine on an out route. And Lattimore drops what may have been a pick 6. Like if he catches that ball, it's probably going back the other way. I mean, Tannehill ends up with 3 interceptions yesterday. He probably could have thrown 5.
Yeah. No, for sure. It was – so then you look at – okay, so, look, again, the Saints are good. The Saints, that is – what's the strength of their team? I really like Rashid Shaheed now with that receiving core. When they get Kamara back, Yeah, and also Kendre Miller, by the way.
Yep.
That's not going to be a bad football team. They're not great up front, really. I like Cam Jordan yesterday was not as impactful. He's up there, but they in the back end they are very good. So it looked to me like there was a lot of man, which is how sometimes you get those special plays and get people free. And they were sticky to the Titans, and they were physical and handsy and all that stuff, and do that all game. The Titans know how that goes. That can work for you. So the separation was not there a lot. But Tannehill, I agree. I mean, how often do we've seen him turn it over. And a couple years ago, we had the Bengals game, and he had, four picks against the Texans in that home game, right? Yeah. But it was like a rainy day. Just not at all used to seeing him telegraph passes to covered receivers late to give them opportunities to get easy interceptions. It's just not what you're used to seeing. So why did it happen yesterday?
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Michael. Michael, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so the first half, Derrick Henry averages 5 yards a carry. The defense is holding. Tannehill don't look all that great. Who cares? 5 yards a carry. Fire Tim Kelly. Fire him today. I cut him today.
Thanks for the call, Michael. Joe, our first one of the year.
Yeah.
Took one game.
Fire somebody. How have we not gotten to fire Aukerman yet, by the way? I mean, I know.
Hey, first play of the season yesterday, they forced a turnover on special teams, for God's sake.
They did, but you know that punt block, Jared immediately texted me. Is that on the special teams votes? And I said, yes, Jared. Yes. You can have this one. You can yell at him today. How much, after all the things that happened yesterday, will Jared waste time on a show today talking about Craig Aukerman?
Yes, he will. There's no question in my mind about it.
Yeah. Look, I certainly would not say this was a good debut for Tim Kelly.
No.
Certainly would not. Don't think he's going to be fired. Don't think he should be. Don't think he will be.
Well, we've talked about we've talked about the usage of Henry. I mean, he was playing really well in the first half, and for whatever reason, didn't get the ball in the second half but five times, and that's going to be something the Titans have to figure out as they move forward here. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. We'll get to the defensive side of the ball coming up a little bit next as well, including two things that happened on the defensive side of the ball that are very concerning to me as the Titans move forward yesterday. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow at 5:35 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds taking on the Charlotte Knights, the AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and Family Leisure. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Joe Rex Road live in New Orleans. After the Titans 16-15 loss to the Saints yesterday, taking your thoughts on that. So, Joe, we've talked a lot about the offense, and we're going to continue to talk about the offense, the struggles of Tannehill, Henry's uses, the offensive line, lots to get to on that front. Corey Curtis going to join us at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to that. Defensively yesterday, I thought there were a lot of things that went well for the Titans. Arden Key with a sack and a half. I thought at some point yesterday that he was going to end up having like a Chandler Jones-type game to open up the season. He was crushing the Saints yesterday, so good to see him on the field. Danico Autry, a sack and a half, so him just picking up right where he left off last year, looking pretty good. Jeffrey Simmons, a great game yesterday too. So pass rush, feeling pretty good. If you're the Titans yesterday, they made some good plays in the secondary. Monty Hooker had the interception that we talked about. Hooker started the game on special teams with the fumble recovery. Played a really good game for the Titans yesterday. And then, Joe, you get to the end of the game yesterday, and Hooker is being evaluated for a concussion, which he had some of those issues last year. Buck Rising reporting that after the game yesterday. And then after one quarter of football yesterday, Christian Fulton has a hamstring injury. So we get it through one quarter of football to begin the season. He gets all the way through camp, into the preseason. We've talked about the contract year, what an important year it is for Fulton. And one quarter into the season, he's got a hamstring injury. Now, he did get back out there yesterday, Joe, and he was out there for basically the last play of the game when the Saints hit the big pass play to ice it away yesterday, and he just got absolutely torched on that play. So I don't know what level of strength his hamstring is at. I don't know how much that was hindering him on that play, but here we are yet again, and two guys who we've talked about a lot in the secondary, Joe. Hooker's dealing with a concussion protocol, and Fulton yesterday with a hamstring injury after one quarter of play.
Yeah, look, I feel terrible for Fulton, I'll be honest with you, because I don't think there's – whatever took place before, I don't think there's any question that he has done anything he can think of and has embraced, like, what the Titans want, has done his own stuff, whatever. Like, they've talked about it. He's tried to figure it out. Had a very good preseason, is a good player, and then it hit. I mean, it's just like – it's just – it's got to be so frustrating. And, look, I give him credit. He stepped up and talked after the game and all that stuff. I thought it looked like on the big play that he was starting to drag it a little bit. Yeah. It looked to me like he pulled it. He told me he did. So I don't know. He's like, no, nah, just basically like he jumped the route and he got burned, which is a huge mistake. I mean, just a huge mistake in that moment. But the bigger picture of him this year and his career, all that stuff, like, what do you do? It's the same. And then Hooker. I mean, both those guys. We've talked about this. Like, yes, Fulton, but also Hooker. What a player he is. He is one heck of a football player. That first play and the pick, and he almost had another pick. He's a great safety, and you got to start really worrying about him and his future in this league. You can't keep piling up. By the way, Buck should not get credit for reporting it. I mean, the Titan just told us that when we all walked in there, like, well, he must have tweeted it for, I guess.
He was the first one I saw. There you go.
Yeah. Take that credit away from him. No credit for Buck.
I retract what I said about Buck.
Thank you. But it's brutal for the Titans because those guys are really good. You take them away, and it's just a totally different secondary. And that's the thing. Like, the X plays, explosive plays, they all call them X plays. What the Saints have? I mean, they had four or five yesterday. And those are killers. And a couple times, I think it was just Olave's quickness in the middle of the field, and it was, just kind of took advantage. I think Molden one time. And Molden, by the way, also got beat deep by Olave. Yep. And that absolutely could have been called a DPI, by the way. If we're going to talk about bad calls, that easily could have been a DPI. But
he basically wrapped him up about a half second early. Yep.
Yeah. But those huge plays are just killers, and you end up with a 300-yard game for the opposing quarterback, and I don't know the answer. Because here's the thing, Robbie. You're right. The pass rush looked great early.
Yeah.
The running game looked great early. And the second half, the Titans couldn't run. Again, they should have maybe tried more, but they didn't run well. They were starting to send a fifth guy on third downs because all of a sudden the four-man pass rush was not getting home. Why was that? I mean, Key said, they're just leaving more people in, which makes sense. That's the obvious adjustment. But then, if you send a fifth guy and then all of a sudden you get burned by it by Carr, like, that's disappointing. I mean, it was – you can't knock a defensive effort that gives up 16 freaking points on the road. But the second half, there were way too many mistakes.
There were. And look, I'm looking at the pass rush. Landry did not get a sack yesterday. I didn't notice him a ton out there yesterday in terms of rushing the passer. I thought Autry was great in the game. Arden Key, again, he was playing really well, especially in that first half yesterday. I will say in the secondary, I did not think Sean Murphy Bunting had a great day out there yesterday.
I agree.
And, obviously if Fulton goes down, like, they need him to step up. I thought McCreary was pretty good for the most part. I did not think Sean Murphy Bunting played overly well yesterday. And, if Fulton's not going to be reliable out there, which, I mean, at this point, and again, I'm with you. I feel really bad for him. I do. But as soon as I saw the hamstring yesterday, I mean, it just kind of solidified it to me again. It's like, you just can't count on him to stay healthy. I mean, it just is what it is at this point. And I know he's put in work, and hopefully this hamstring is not a huge deal, and he's able to get back out there and play on Sunday against the Chargers and stay healthy the rest of the year. But there's no way in the world that I can sit there and count on Christian Fulton being healthy just based on the body of work that we've seen to this point.
Right. And actually, kind of a sneaky, underrated loss last week was Trey Avery.
Yeah.
And Trey Avery is a pretty good, next corner up. And so they didn't have him. I think that was Hammy too, right? So, soft tissue talk. Here we go.
Not good. Circled all the way back around to it. It's something. I mean, when they said Fulton hamstring yesterday, I just thought, oh man, here we go again. Azeez Al-Shaair yesterday, you made some good plays. Can't have that penalty. Like, that's a penalty that you just can't have if you're Al-Shaair there, and that's something you got to get cleaned up moving forward too. Other than that, like, other than those things that we've talked about, like you said, it's really hard to sit here and, like, nitpick a 16-point performance from a defense yesterday based on the offense and what they did, but there were a few plays that the defense didn't make that, if they did, maybe end up being in the difference in the game yesterday too.
Yeah, and Al-Shaair also after the game just said, basically he made a mistake on the Jamal Williams run that sealed the game too. Good for Azeez Al-Shaair for taking that accountability. Like, man, third and four. Because the thing is, if you just tackle their straight-ahead run on third and four, well, then they kick a field goal and you have some chance. You have some time left, some chance. That ends the game. I mean, that's highly disappointing for Vrabel and all those guys to just let them run down your throat to seal the game.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans. Their loss to the Saints yesterday. And by the way, Jacksonville gets the win yesterday in Indianapolis. So the Titans already behind the eight ball in the division. We'll get into some of that coming up next as well. This week's Nashville's Best Deals is the legendary Elliston Place Soda Shop. Elliston Place Soda Shop is the one-part soda shop, one-part meat and three, one-part old-school diner that has been serving Nashville since 1939. Get half off a $20 gift card to Elliston Place Soda Shop now at thegamenashville.com. while they last. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Robbie Stanley, Nick Kieser here from Nashville at our 1025 The Game studios. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Joe Rex Road live in New Orleans, Louisiana, fresh off the Titans loss to the Saints. Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Speaking of that, and that phone number, got some tickets to give away to see Dave Chappelle at Bridgestone Arena coming up on September 21st. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Dave Chappelle at Bridgestone Arena coming up on September 21st. Joe Rexroad, I think Dave Chappelle might be the funniest man on the planet. So it's a good prize. 615-737-1025 is our phone number.
He's pretty funny. Was it Bill Burr there last year?
Yeah.
He's pretty funny too.
It's good stuff. 615-737-1025. So, Joe, at the end of this day yesterday, you're looking at the standings, and the Texans lose to Baltimore. Jacksonville plays in Indy. Actually, Indy played fairly well yesterday. They gave Jacksonville a bit of a run for their money. Anthony Richardson had some plays where he looked pretty good out there yesterday for the Colts. So, that was interesting to see, but in the end, Trevor Lawrence and the Jags get it done. Trevor Lawrence made a couple of throws yesterday that were just unbelievable. Calvin Ridley with some big plays in that Jacksonville offense, and Travis Etienne kind of salted it away for the Jags yesterday. So I know it's only 1 week, Joe, but you're 1 week in if you're the Titans, and you're already behind the eight ball in the division race for the AFC South.
Yeah, just kind of following along from afar the Colts-Jags game, it seemed like the Colts really, gave them a run. And not all that surprising, Remember what Fat Jack said about the home dog, especially division rivals. So, I mean, at least they were competitive, hung in there. But the one thing that stands out to me from that Jags game is Ridley went off.
Oh, yeah.
And, by the way, 18 also looked awfully good, too. But Ridley having a game like that right away, it's like, okay, see, they were missing that guy last year. And the who was that who had the corner tee? Was that who was that?
Zay Jones, wasn't it?
Ridiculous catch.
No, that was Zay Jones. That was Ridley too, wasn't it? And you talking about the one-handed catch?
I think it was Ridley, but maybe. I mean, regardless, it was an amazing catch. I thought it was Zay, but either way, that offense looks pretty good. And, there were some weird plays in that game that helped the Colts hang in there. So, yeah, it's – again, it's early on here, you don't want to be in a big hole. The Titans' offense we saw yesterday is capable of digging a hole. And so they need to get that straightened out real fast here. What? And they take on a team that – that was one of the best games of the day yesterday. It was maybe the best game was the Chargers-Dolphins game.
Well, that's the thing. Like you're taking on a team next week that gave up, you know, 460 yards passing yesterday to Tua and to Tyreek Hill. Problem is, you don't have a Tyreek Hill on your team that can run wild and have over 200 yards by himself like he did yesterday. And the offensive line, look, you know, we've talked a lot about Tannehill today. The offensive line was a problem for the Titans yesterday. Like, offensively, Joe, I'm not sure yesterday could have gone much worse for the Titans. In terms of a debut, you got your new offensive coordinator in there. It's a new offensive scheme. All these things. And I thought the line got caved in to start. The saving grace in the first half was Derrick Henry and the way that he was running the ball, both in the running game and then on the screen pass of the 46-yarder. I mean, other than that, they just really didn't get much going offensively. And you know, you get to the end of the day yesterday and they've scored 15 points. They didn't score a touchdown in the game yesterday. And you're thinking to yourself, all right, well, a lot of the blame last year got put on the personnel, which they've shifted on the offensive line. They brought in DeAndre Hopkins and the offensive coordinator, which they fired at the end of last year. You bring in a new offensive coordinator. And here we are week one and you're talking about 15 points. You kick five field goals. You never scored a touchdown. I mean, it's a very, very disappointing debut for this new Titans offense, and Tim Kelly does not get excluded from that yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, look, this is a – I'm withholding on this because it's just so early. But, I mean, I saw a comment on my column at The Athletic about this, and I'm not surprised. I mean, people are going to go to this, which is, you know, Ryan Tannehill with Arthur Smith as his OC was tremendous. Is, you know, 19-20, like it was the best football of his career. You know, other than that, so since then it has been a clear step down with Downing. And again, one game under Tim Kelly, but right. The idea of like, did Arthur Smith have some sort of, you know, just some sort of like special feel for Tannehill's skill set? Look, and my quick answer to that, there's the two things I want to address with Tannehill because they keep coming up. Well, this one will, I think, come up more. He also, again, yes, he was a good OC, but like everything on that offense was in place. You had a star left tackle, et cetera, et cetera. You had A.J. Brown. I mean, there were so many things other than OC that were better than they are now, right?
Yeah.
I think we can all agree on that. So it's hard. I know it's much easier to say, this person is the reason. It's this person's fault. There's a lot to this offense basically just eroding since then. And the other thing, Robbie, I need your – because it just keeps coming up. It's all over the text line. It's all over the comments on my column. And I just keep saying, like, I didn't think about this one time. I don't give a crap about this. But everybody keeps saying, well, if Tannehill would have played in some preseason games, you tell me, would that have helped? Would he have been better yesterday?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think it has anything to do with it. Now, look, if that's what you want to believe after he goes out there yesterday and looks as bad as he did, more power to you. I mean, I don't know that I could sit here and argue with you, but I don't think that Tannehill was like there's some lack of work that he got coming into the season. I just – and again, if he plays in the pre – we've talked about this, so there's only so much patience I have for
him.
But like
– a lot.
You know, if he played – 10 snaps in the preseason, which is a couple of series maybe, and threw the ball, how much of a difference does that actually make in the regular season? You're going to be hard-pressed to convince me that it's a lot. Now, I mean, I guess if you wanted to play three quarters, the first half and into the third quarter like they used to as starters, maybe that would make a difference. I don't know. But I think it's a really easy thing to point to when things don't go well to start. Like I said this last year, like Tannehill – wasn't really the problem last year in the season opening loss to the Giants. The problem was they couldn't tackle Saquon Barkley in the second half, and their kicker missed the game-winning field goal. Like Tannehill's number, I think in the Giants game to open the year season last year, he was like 20 of 33 for 240-something yards and a couple of touchdowns. Like it wasn't Ryan Tannehill that was a problem last year. Yesterday, Ryan Tannehill was a problem. There's no question about that. But I don't have a lot of time for the preseason part of this.
Right. I mean, again, that's why everybody does joint practices. I mean, that's better work. But if anybody is pushing this, then I want you to tell me right now, just do it on the text line. Tell me the team, because I didn't track all the – I know that some – like Mahomes played a series and he threw like one pass. But I want you to tell me the team that extensively played their quarterback who then was awesome yesterday. If that team exists, let me know, and I'll reconsider.
How much did Tua play in the preseason? I don't know. I don't remember him playing a ton. I'm sure he probably got in there a little bit. Yeah. But, threw for 450 yards yesterday. I don't think the preseason had much to do with it.
Preseason football is evaluating players. They don't have game plans on either side of the ball. Like, yes, it's game speed, but you get game speed. You do the joint practices, you get good against good. But, yes, I'm with you. I didn't want to, talk about it, but people are talking about it. It's like, dude,
well, look, I'm not surprised by that. I mean, look, when you look as bad as the quarterback looked yesterday, you're searching for answers, and I get it. So, sure. Look, I don't – if you feel like that they need to play more in the preseason, that's fine. Now, you can have that opinion. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. Maybe you're right. Who knows? I mean, look, as bad as they looked yesterday offensively, maybe they could have used a few more reps in the preseason. I have no idea. I think when you really look at it and you break it down to how much even the people who are playing in the preseason as starters actually play, I don't think it's that big of a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maddie says, Tim's offense didn't scheme anyone open. I watched Cowboys last night. People were open all over.
That's just not true.
Yeah, that's not true. I mean, there's plenty of criticisms of – Tim Kelly, the offense, all of it. It was bad. But he absolutely schemed two touchdowns open for Tannehill to just arm punt it for touchdowns, and Tannehill couldn't make throws that every NFL quarterback has to make. I don't know what to tell you.
That's the thing. Like, it wasn't perfect, and we talked about it. There wasn't a ton of separation that Titans receivers were creating yesterday. But, I mean, he did call the flea flicker, and Chigakonkwo didn't have anybody within 7 yards of him on that route. Tyjae Spears, when that ball was thrown, Joe, and again, you were there and I was watching on the TV feed, there was not a Saints player within the TV feed when the ball was thrown of Tyjae Spears, and he just missed him out of bounds. I mean, they're wide open. You can't get more open than Okonkwo and Spears were yesterday. So, like, this idea that nobody was schemed open, it's just not true.
Yeah, I mean, when he threw that pass – to Spears, immediately I'm like, oh, there's the winning touchdown. It's and then all of a sudden it's like, like, where the heck did that one go? Yeah. Man, I mean, that was a weird one for sure, because that was a beautiful play. I mean, it's they had big plays dialed up and ready to go, and you gotta make plays.
Joe, the one thing that you try not to do in week one is overreact, right? I mean, look, the Bengals got stomped yesterday by Cleveland. Joe Burrow threw for 82 yards. T. Higgins didn't have a catch. Like, the Bengals are going to be fine as they move forward here. There are countless examples you can point to in week one, year after year, where people overreact and they freak out or they anoint a team way too early. We see it all the time. One thing that I don't know that I'm overreacting to that is really troubling to me yesterday, if I'm a Titans fan, I look at Andre Dillard, his path to get here coming from Philadelphia, the fact that he played into the third quarter in the last preseason game and whatever that means from Vrabel's standpoint, and just the struggle that it was out there for Andre Dillard yesterday. And I'm left after week one thinking to myself, Joe, I have no clue what they're going to do at left tackle, because, I mean, you can throw Dillard out there, and he wasn't terrible the whole game. It wasn't like it was just some turnstile Dennis Daly performance out there. But it was not. I mean, it's not quality left tackle play that they've got right now. And, it's the first game of the season. I'll leave a window and a door for him to get better as they move forward here. But it's hard for me to see where this offense is going to be able to protect Ryan Tannehill long enough based on what I saw out of this line yesterday.
Yeah, no, that's a spot where there may need to be an adjustment at some point. I'm with you. Like, let's Let's see. I did think protection in general got better as the game went on, so that's a positive, but it's not looking very good. And I don't think it's going to look as bad as Dennis Daly last year. But if it's about what it was yesterday consistently, then I think at some point, and earlier than like last year, they just kept going with Daly. I think you have to try to figure something out. You're going to get Petit Frere back. You're going to get Dylan Radins back. You're going to have more bodies to move people around. Skaronski to left tackle at some point considered. I think that's down the road, but I think it's possible. Real quick, William from Madison, thank you for pointing this out. One guy who did play a lot, and like they looked amazing. Remember? Oh my God, the Steelers look so good. Kenny Baby Hands Pickett looks amazing. Well, guess what? All that awesome preseason work, he was trash yesterday. Trash. So there is not a direct correlation, guys. And if you want to look closely at everybody who played and didn't play and then how they played yesterday, go back to last year, go back to the year before, you're not going to find correlations.
Hey, you know who else looked pretty good in the preseason? And he did so against the Titans? Justin Fields. You know how that went yesterday? Just how I knew it would, and I can't wait to talk about it coming up next. We're going to get into the Rob rant at 7:45. I'll get into a little bit of a victory lap for my Green Bay Packers. We'll also take a look around the league yesterday. We mentioned the Cincinnati loss. Lots of interesting results around the National Football League yesterday. We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, Mo, that team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Homer, watch your mouth.
I gotta go. My damn wiener kids are listening.
Got bear.
How's it feel knowing Jay Cutler is the best quarterback in your team's history? Let's play Jeopardy, something you never see in the Chicago Bears. What is a franchise quarterback?
Jordan Love. It is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. I've been waiting about 5 months for this one. Joe, I said it last week. Chicago Bears fans, you better hope to God you win this game on Sunday, because if you don't, I'm going to be insufferable. And guess what? I am going to be insufferable this week. All that talk all off season long. Rodgers is gone. Justin Fields this. Justin Fields that. DJ Moore. Jordan Love's terrible. The Packers suck. And what'd they do yesterday? They come in and kick the absolute hell out of the Chicago Bears. 38-20, the final score. Jordan Love, 15-27, 245 yards, 3 touchdowns through the air. By the way, played without his number one receiver yesterday in Christian Watson, and his number two wide receiver was playing on one hamstring yesterday, and they still put up 38 points against the Chicago Bears. It was beautiful. The tears tasted as good as I thought they would yesterday from Chicago Bears fans, and man, did I enjoy myself yesterday, Joe Rex. So that was the most satisfying week one victory I have ever been a part of. It was beautiful to watch Jordan Love totally dismantle the city of Chicago yesterday. Well done, Green Bay Packers.
I just texted Michelle and Ryan that you're commenting on a certain game right now. I'm not sure if Michelle would enjoy listening secretly, quietly, yes. Enjoy listening. But saw those two on Saturday, and I really do. It probably would be a bad idea, but you and Ryan watching a Bears-Packer game might also be incredible.
Could be.
Michelle sent us a video of him, whatever game that was, and we already knew they sucked last year.
Yes,
you know what I mean. Like, it was like, why are you even that upset about your crappy team in this game that means nothing? Imagine yesterday. Imagine Ryan from Chicago yesterday, Robbie. I want you to let that warm your heart.
Oh, it did. It warmed my heart tremendously yesterday.
Why? So tell me about. I mean, I didn't watching the game. I've seen the highlights, and I see like Jordan Love throwing to like guys who were just completely wide open downfield.
Pretty much,
just total domination, huh?
Just total domination. I mean, the score ended up being 38-20. It was more of a butt whooping than that. They had a meaningless touchdown at the end of the game to make it 38-20. So it was just beautiful yesterday. All this talk about Justin Fields. He throws a nice pick six to Quay Walker yesterday. Fumbles the ball. the Bears are just a terrible franchise. Like, I think at some point you just got to realize that you are what you are, and it's not going to get any better, man. Like, they're just not a very good franchise, and they can't get out of their own way. And it was so funny to just watch Jordan Love waltz in there yesterday and have a perfect passer rating on third and fourth down yesterday. He just lit them up. I mean, just totally lit them up. And he really didn't have to do all that much. Aaron Jones was the star of the game, and he whooped them on a choice route yesterday. He took a screen about 50 yards, too. Was dominating on the ground. So he was the best player in the game yesterday, but it was just beautiful to watch that unfold. And I've been trying to tell people, and people think that I'm crazy, but I've been trying to tell them, Jordan Love's pretty good. And yesterday, guess what? Jordan Love was pretty good.
Well, yeah, and no Christian Watson.
I know.
So Dobbs is a stud, and obviously, right? So how good do you actually think Jordan Love is? Like, how good of a season is he going to have for them?
I think – I'm not saying that he's like some league MVP or anything like that or is about to be their next Hall of Fame quarterback, but he has the physical tools to be a pretty good starter for 10 to 12 years. Like, he's pretty good. And I do think there's value. Like, he's been in the league for – this is fourth year. Like, he's sat there for 3 years behind one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever do it. And that goes back to, like, the Will Levis discussion – and, like, the Titans discussion of when you're drafting quarterbacks, do you play them, do you not play them? We saw the Colts trot out Anthony Richardson yesterday. I actually thought he looked pretty good, pretty decent for the most part. But we've seen Mahomes sit. We've seen Rodgers sit. We've seen Brady sit. Like, a lot of quarterbacks have sat down for their first year or two, and it's turned out to work out pretty well for them. So, again, it's one game. Like, I don't know that this necessarily means that Jordan Love is, you know, going to win the league MVP this year, but he's pretty darn good.
When was the Kansas City game? Was that two seasons ago?
Yes.
So, I think back to you, really, for the last three seasons, I think, right? Like,
he was not good then.
Following it closely, like, always hearing, Ed, it looks rough. Oh, this looks like a terrible pit, right? I mean, like, there was a lot of talk, like, this might be a total bust. And now look at him. It's just interesting when, like you said, Levis, Willis, I mean – people don't want to think about – I mean, that is a long time. It's amazing that the Packers would have two straight starting quarterbacks who, you know, sit out years before playing. It just doesn't happen. But it is interesting that all that time, and it, apparently he's just improved tremendously without needing NFL games to do it, you know?
Yeah. No, he's – I mean, he looked – I mean, look, it's the Bears' defense too, so that's the other thing. Like, how good are they going to be?
Point.
I mean – you know, they play Atlanta next week, so I mean, we'll see. They're going to play some better defenses as they move forward. But it went just about as well as it could have gone for Jordan Love and the Packers yesterday. Around the rest of the league, Joe, the Sunday night football game last night was unbelievable.
God.
Cowboys
win.
I was
excited for that.
Yeah, I was too. I thought it was going to be a great game, and the Cowboys destroy the Giants. I mean, that game was over 5 minutes into the game. They went 40-0 last night. And the thing is, they put up 40 points last night, Joe. And Dak Prescott didn't have to do anything. Like he went 13 of 24 for 143 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. But the defense was so dominant. Tony Pollard ran the ball well. They got the blocked field goal. Like that was an eye-opening performance for the Cowboys on the road last night.
Their defense might be something else.
It's pretty
good.
That
might be a real special defense. So let's talk about the most miserable NFL cities today. Nashville counts as one of them.
For sure.
Because the offense, and you're excited about seeing this new offense, and then you get 15 points and no touchdowns. But how about Joe Burrow and his 80 yards passing and 3 points at Cleveland?
Yep.
I would submit them. I would submit the Vikings.
Yep.
A great call by me. Lose 20-17. I didn't watch this game. I don't know how Kirk Cousins throws for 344 and two touchdowns, and Justin Jefferson has 9 for 150, and they score 17 points. But that's what happened. That's miserable to lose at home to the Bucs.
Oh, yeah.
The Steelers, like I mentioned, Mr. Super preseason superstar Kenny Pickett, 30-7. Absolute butt whipping. And by the way, the Niners, too.
They look pretty good.
Niners and Cowboys. And then, well, I think Chicago is in the misery index, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
That's big-time misery, even though I don't think realistic Bears fans thought they were going to win 10, 11 games this year. But still, I mean, come on. You get this guy help. I can't wait to talk to Corey Curtis next, actually.
They just got reminded who Daddy is yesterday again for the ninth time in a row.
And here's another one. How about Seattle? Taking a butt-kicking at home
that
from
was not
the Rams.
Good.
Matt Stafford does not have his number one receiver again, but he still throws for 334. Tutu Atwell, 6 for 119. Zach's guy, whose name I won't try to say, is awesome. And the Seahawks just 13 points at home against the freaking Rams?
I know. Not good. And then there's
a lot of angry NFL cities today.
Well, there's angry NFL cities, and then there's a team that won yesterday in Baltimore. They hammered the Texans 25-9, but Dobbins again is hurt again, and he's torn his Achilles. That's the fear that he's out for the year. And you're talking about a guy that is just having a lot of difficulty staying healthy.
It's terrible, and also he's special. That's the thing. Before he got hurt, you're like, yep, there he is. And then that happens. That's awful. Yeah, they actually struggled with them way longer than they should have.
C.J. Stroud completed his first pass to himself, though. So, heck of a way to start your career. Your first, I think Bryce Young did, too. I think yesterday both Stroud and Bryce Young completed a pass to themselves.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's wild. And Ryan from Chicago says, and he's talking in third person. This is like, George is getting upset. Okay, Ryan from Chicago was surprisingly calm and accepting. They murdered us in the trenches on both sides. Fields protection has not improved at all. Our play calling is very strange. Luke Getsy will now be known as Screen Boy. I'll give Love his flowers to agree, although I still think we have the far better QB. But y'all are just flat out better than us in most position groups. Still, it is what it is. I think that was a lot of, like, you know, owning it, taking the L.
Yeah.
But far better QB, Robbie.
Yeah.
Let's make excuses.
Well, I mean, he and Jordan Love did combine for 4 touchdown passes to the Packers yesterday. So that was good. Good to see. Really good to see. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans' Ryan Tannehill's performance in New Orleans yesterday. That's coming up next. This is 1025-1063, The Game.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.